right, for the next talk, Johan and Valentin will tell us everything there is to know from the Prime Boot security features on embedded Linux system. Let's welcome them.
So hello everyone, we are very happy today to be with you to explain some Linux boot security features we are trying to develop on our image systems. So I'm Valentin Geoffroy and I am today with Johan Gauthier, and we are both Linux embedded engineers in IoT-based Edge. So it's a small company based in France. I will quickly explain what we are making in our company. And then we will speak about some secure boot features, and Johan will explain what we have developed in a restricted environment. So firstly, we are based in Brittany, and we are known for our contribution on our automotive Gold Linux. So it's a project we contribute, and today we are developing a Red Pesk, which is two things. So it's an embedded systems based on CentOS, for those know, with lots of security features. And in another part, there is a Red Pesk factory, which allows us to build applications and images. So the context today, it's cybersecurity. So it's a very big word. So cybersecurity in our use case, we have to think about embedded devices. So, for example, for home automation, for automotive, so for mobile devices, you can have vulnerabilities, issues about security. So, a lot of entry points. And for someone with malicious thoughts, for example, he wants to gain access on the system. So, it could be very dangerous. So that's why we are trying to fix, to build a real root of trust on our systems. You can have software vulnerabilities too. Today we are mainly focused about the boot integrity, not about CVE or other things that you can find on our other presentation at FOSDEM. Today the European Union is working very hard to give some rules, standards, and laws about security. Maybe you know Cyber Resilience Act, which is effective today. And it's penalties for manufacturers who are not respecting some standards. That's why embedded providers and suppliers must be compliant with these rules. And in a specific use case for automotive, for example, there are a lot of standards too. That's why boot integrity is very important. So today I'm not speaking about all our security features in our operating system, but mainly about secure boot and essential integrity verification on our system. So it's very important to encrypt all your data that is sensible, for example. And Johan will explain later what we deploy on our systems in a restricted environments with constraints. So a general statement for our image for images. So we support a lot of BSP today, both ARM and Intel architectures. The manufacturers, SOC vendors, have a different implementation of secure boot features. That's why it's difficult to generalize a big solution for everything. That's why we have to think about each step of the boot flow. For example, we have NXP, Renesas, TXIS Instruments, SOC vendors. We are currently developing BSP for our operating system of some boards. And today we will see only one, NXP, for people who know. And NXP, why? Because it's well documented. You can find all documentation on the web. And for example, for me, it helped me a lot to understand a lot of secure boot features. So the idea is to guarantee each boot flow step. For example, with a signed process or by a verification of integrity. here is an example of two things. So firstly, it's important to understand a classical Linux boot flow. So there are a lot of things. And as the previous talk speaks about, you can have different steps in the chain. So here is the first example of a typical boot chain on NXP platform. So from the CPU starting, you have a lot of vendor firmwares, which load a lot of things. And for us, the interesting part is on U-boot bootloader. And the U-boot bootloader will load the kernel in the memory. And after, you can have systemd services, in our case, and our base OS application. So we have to guarantee all these flow in integrity. So you can have here an example on NXP platform, the Sakeboot implementation. So with a couple of private key and public key, you can use to sign a bootloader. You can store the public key on a one-time programmable fuse, if you know. And this is well used in the industry to store the primary public key on the hardware. And this guarantees us the root of trust of our system. And after, when the system loads, you can have U-boot verification of the signature. And an interesting feature, it's a verified boot. You can check the Linux kernel and the device tree integrity to guarantee that a malicious user hasn't changed anything. And like previous talk speaks about, you can have kernel features like FS Verity, but for us today, we will speak about zmcrypt and zmverity. So just a sum up, zmverity is a runtime verification of some integrity blocks, and zmcrypt is for encryption. And I'll let Johan explain to you how he deploys these features and what problem he adds on a restricted platform.
Little time.
Okay, thank you. So Valentin explained the theory about secure boot, and now I'm going to talk about a very specific implementation that we had to do for a client on a very restricted hardware platform. So on top of security about secure boot, there is the full disk encryption and the integrity check. So I'm going to talk about that. Here is the hardware we had to work on. So one core CPU, 32 bytes, 1 gigahertz, and 1 gigabyte of RAM, and mostly all the time NAND memory for the disk. The other one is a bit better, but still we had. We were restricted also because the stock vendor only supports old kernels, 3.18 and 4.14. So many security features are not available with those kernels, or you have to backport a lot of stuff. We also had that requirement that key features had to be up at least at 30 seconds after boot. It's already very complex to have this kind of feature running without the security. It's even harder when you want to integrate all this boot security. So first, about full disk encryption. The key is stored into security memory, HSM or TMP. TPM, sorry. And then you, because of because our client, of course, doesn't want to have the same key for all its board, we had to encrypt the board at boot time. So we had to do that at first boot, I mean. So to do that, we had to implement an init from FS that does the full disk encryption at first boot. So that takes a lot of time. And then store the key and burn the key into secure memory. And also as the